Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed, I don't know about you, sometimes I love giving the word. I love the opportunity to just share the word of God. And there, I love all the messages that I get to give, but there's been something about these last 3 weeks. I was telling Jeremy, I have so much material, I could probably do, I could probably do 4 or 5 more weeks just on this. We're not going to do that, but here's what I want you to take away from all of those things, because we were talking about spiritual geology. And the thing that I want us to take away from that, we're going to touch on it a little bit today, but the thing I want us to take away from that is everything in God's creation, if we will look, this is what's so exciting to me. It's so easy to get caught up in the things of the day that we're looking and we're seeing things only as whatever's in front of us. We just deal with whatever comes. But if we will open up our eyes and look and see, everything in God's creation always points us right back to Him. Everything in God's creation shouts His praises. Everything in God's creation, if we will look and learn, will teach us and will give us evidence of spiritual truths. So, as we go through our days, whether it's geology or whether it's just sitting and enjoying, one of my favorite messages that I ever gave to you guys was the one a couple years ago on rainbows. And I just, everything in His creation just always points back to Him. So, for the last 3 weeks, we have been looking and we've been seeing. We've been learning how everything in His creation does give us that glimpse into His spiritual truth. If we'll have eyes to see, and if we'll look through the lens of the Bible. And there's so much encouragement in that. And there's so much excitement of the things that we can behold and the things that He wants to show us and reveal to us. And so our example the last couple of weeks has been through the science of geology, but we've called it spiritual geology because we can see those spiritual things. And one of the very first elemental things we saw 3 weeks ago is geology shows us who we are in Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us in 1 Peter that we are His living stones. The Bible says you are living stones. Geology tells us that on the surface of this earth, there's three kinds of stones. One of those types of stone or one of those types of rock is called sedimentary. That means it is formed from the sediment. It's formed from the dirt, from the dust, from the ground, from the clay. But we also saw that's what Genesis tells us, that God made us from. So we truly are His living stones. We truly are His living sedimentary stones in Jesus. Geology also showed us what Jesus' plans are for us. And if you remember, we saw Jesus putting that sediment, that mud, that sediment on the eyes of the man who was born blind in John chapter 9. Jesus is the living waters. We are the sediment that Jesus works through to do His great works. If we will allow Jesus to flow through us, we will revive the land that is around us. Geology also showed us how Jesus does His work through us, how He works through us, how He moves through us to accomplish His will. And we saw in that same story, Jesus sent that man who had been born blind, had the mud, the sediment on his eyes. Jesus sent him to wash at the pool of Siloam, which represents the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you and I, moving through you and I to accomplish His will. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have this treasure in jars of clay. That's us. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It is His power, but it's His power that moves through us. So this morning is Palm Sunday, and we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Just days before He would become the perfect sacrifice lamb for all sin. So we read this in Luke. There's several places we can look at it, but this morning I want us to read this together. This is from Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verses 29 through 40. And it came to pass, when He drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that He sent two of His disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way, and they found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." So we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry. We celebrate Palm Sunday together. Palm Sunday is the time that Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We celebrate Palm Sunday every year. We do it every year. We do it with rejoicing. But what is it about Jesus riding on that donkey, descending down the Mount of Olives, crossing over the Kidron Valley? And if you guys were in Israel, boy, you can picture all that because we walked it all. What is it about Jesus descending down the Mount of Olives, crossing the Kidron Valley, and going up, making his ascent and entering into Jerusalem? Why is that so important? Because that's the moment that Jesus makes public that he is the Messiah, that he is the promised one of God that had been prophesied about. And all of his disciples and all those people proclaim Jesus to be the Messiah. And the very words that they spoke, those words that we read, those words that they spoke were important because those are words that are taken directly from Psalm 118. And they are words that proclaim the Messiah. So the words that they spoke were chosen for a purpose and chosen to be powerful. Here's what it says in Psalm 118, verses 26 through 29. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light." That's Jesus. "Bind the sacrifice with the cords to the horns of the altar." This is even speaking about the sacrifice that Jesus is going to become. "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." So these people, they were proclaiming Jesus to be the Messiah. But even though they probably didn't realize it, because they were quoting directly from Psalm 118, they were also proclaiming Jesus, the sacrifice offering for all sin. And Jesus allowed their praise. Now that offended the Pharisees. And the Pharisees called upon Jesus. And they told Jesus, "Rebuke the crowd. Rebuke the crowd for the words and actions that they're speaking and taking." And Jesus responded to the Pharisees and he said, and the words that he uses, they take on a very geological sound to them. He says to the Pharisees in response, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Love the way geology has tied everything together to lead us right to this moment, this morning. So at that moment, when Jesus is speaking, when all of those disciples, all those people are praising his name, and Jesus says this to the Pharisees, at that moment in human events, Jesus is being ushered forward as God in the flesh, as the King of Kings, who would be the Redeemer of all people. That's the moment that's happening. There absolutely had to be praise. I mean, the moment demanded that there be praise to God at that moment. And if God's highest creation, man, would not offer the praise, then the rest of God's creation would praise him. Even the stones would praise him. All men and women, I'm talking collectively, but mankind, all men, are part of God's creation. So all men are a type of everything we've seen so far. All men are a type of stone. Now some stones are used to the glory of Jesus. Some stones are used for his grace, but other stones are used to condemn and to punish. Remember, in biblical times, rocks were used for stonings. This was punishment for those who violated the law. Well, the Pharisees, they've rejected the rock of Jesus. They've made themselves, they have become stones of condemnation. And those men who should have known before all others, the teachers of the law, those who should have known, they have rejected the stone of Jesus, and they've missed their opportunity to give their praise to the Messiah. But we are his living stones. We are the ones who should be every day speaking his word, praising his name. We are his living stones, and we should loudly be praising his name for everyone out there to hear. This is the time and this is the season. It's important for us to loudly, as his living stones, praise his name. Not to be quiet, but to be bold and loud, vocal for Jesus Christ. Amen? This is who we are. This is what we're called to be. And this, we celebrate this moment every year. This is why we're, this is part of the reason we're celebrating that moment. The question is, what kind of stones are you and I? Are we stones of his grace? Or are we stones of his stones of condemnation? And the way we answer that question is, what are the words that come out of your mouth? Are they words of condemnation, or are they words of life and praise? Proverbs tells us life and death is in the tongue. That means that the words that we speak, they're doing one of two things. The words that you speak, they're either building up, they're either encouraging, they're either bringing life, and at the end of the day, what they're doing is praising Jesus. Or your words are words of criticism and condemnation and destruction and tearing down. What are the words? What kind of stones are we today? We are called to be in the same way that today we are celebrating this moment of Jesus' triumphal entry when he publicly acknowledges that he is Messiah. This is the moment he's doing that. We're celebrating that moment. So we need to make sure that we are his living stones who are loud in his praise, loud in speaking about Jesus, loud in speaking his word. Now, it was important in that day, it was important at that moment for Jesus' disciples to praise his name. It was important for them to proclaim him to be the Messiah. Today, it is important for us as followers of Jesus, as his disciples today, it's important for us to be the ones who speak his word so that Jesus can move through the living stones of you and I and change the world around us. It's important for us to be those living stones who speak. Stones who speak. Stones who praise his name. So, Palm Sunday shows us that there's one more spiritual, geological lesson for us to learn. And so to learn that lesson, we're going to go to the African nation of Cameroon. Joshua, can I have that picture? Cameroon is on the west coast of Africa. So this is Cameroon right here. Now what I want you to see is there's a line of volcanic activity that stretches from the Atlantic Ocean right into Cameroon. And you see these islands? These are volcanic islands. So there's volcanic activity that comes right up through here and right up through Cameroon. We're going to be talking about this region right here. Because there's a volcanic activity in Cameroon, there's many lakes that are actually affected, several lakes in Cameroon that are affected by that volcanic activity. The geology of one of those lakes, it's called Lake Neos. The geology of Lake Neos actually points us, remember, geology points us to spiritual truths. The geology of Lake Neos points us to the spiritual truth of this. It points us to the power of being, you and I, being his stones that speak. So, let me see that next slide. This is a picture. This is Lake Neos. Looks kind of nice. Looks like the Maumee River. But. So this is Lake Neos in Cameroon. Lake Neos, you can't really tell from here, I'll show you a diagram in a little bit, but underneath Lake Neos is a layer of solid rock. And that solid rock sits on top of volcanic activity. In other words, there is, right underneath this lake, there's a long, deep, deep layer of solid rock. But that all sits on top of a whole chamber of molten magma and lava. And because of that, this lake actually sets up a little higher. It sets up above all the rest of the surrounding area because it's actually inside of a, it's in the cone of a long since dead volcano. So it sits up higher amongst everything else. Well, in 1986, so about 33 years ago, in 1986, there was a small rumbling under this lake. Now, as a result of that small rumbling, shortly thereafter, all of a sudden, animals, including cattle, let me see that next picture, Joshua, cattle started to suddenly just fall down and die inexplicably. What's worse, people started to just fall down and die. And this death, it spread out for 12 and a half miles, a radius around Lake Neos. 12 and a half miles, this death took place. In fact, nearly 1,800 people died in the day after that rumbling, in the just hours after that rumbling under Lake Neos took place. What happened? What could cause this? Well, let me show you a diagram. Let me see that next diagram. So, Lake Neos, because you can't see it, but if you would look, like right here, there is this big chamber of magma. So, Lake Neos actually sits. You have the lake, you have all the solid rock, and then you have that chamber of magma. All of that magma that is underneath that rock, it has the tendency to stir up. There's all kinds of gases, all kinds of deadly poisonous gases that are in that magma. And what happens is, all of those gases, this is what this is showing us, all those gases seep up through that rock, through all the cracks and fissures in the rock. And all of that gas eventually makes its way up into the actual water of the lake. And in particular, carbon dioxide, CO2, builds up in the lake. But you can tell by this little diagram, see a little green area? What that's showing us is that what actually happens is the carbon dioxide is contained in the lower levels of the lake. Why? Why doesn't the carbon dioxide go up all the way through all the levels? Because there's salt that is in that lake. And salt creates water that is layered, or it's what's called stratified. So the salinity of the water makes sure that all of those deadly gases are contained down here. They can never make their way up into the upper reaches because eventually, if they came up to the upper levels, they would eventually escape and be released out in the atmosphere. Well, in 1986, when that rumbling took place, all of this water was stirred up. It was actually overturned. And as a result, all of those poisonous gases, that carbon dioxide, actually was released into the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide is heavier than air. So what do you think happened? All that carbon dioxide comes out, and then it comes down. It's heavier than air. It comes rolling down this slope. It actually came down at 45 miles an hour. It comes down this slope. It came down the slope, and once it got down to the bottom, it spread out in the valley below, and it settled there. And it brought all that death and destruction. So what I want us to focus on is what's happening. You have the lake, you have the rock, you have the magma, and you have the gases coming up through. Now, while that is truly a tragedy, and leave that up for just a second, Joshua, while this is truly a tragic thing that happened in Lake Neos, here is the spiritual lesson, or here's the spiritual analogy that we learn from this geology of Lake Neos. So the water that is there up on top, we have the water, beneath the water is the stone, beneath the stone is that chamber of magma. So that magma, think about all that lava, all of that molten rock. I mean, what does that represent to us spiritually? Well, throughout history, lava and magma and volcanic activity, that's always been associated with hell and with death. Now, we've already established that men, all men, are types of rock. So this layer of rock that is between the magma and the lake, that represents the unredeemed. It represents those who are unbelievers. And all these gases that are seeping up through the rocks, that represents the lies, the corruptions, and the deceits of Satan. So we can see this is just a picture of hell And it's a picture of how Satan works. But it's also a picture, which we'll see in a second, it's a picture of the power of you and I with the word that we have. So we can see that all of that poisonous gases of Satan, they eventually make their way up through the rocks, through people, through the unsaved. Satan spreads his lies, his corruption, his destruction, and his death. And he spreads it through unbelievers who either knowingly or unwittingly speak those things out to the world. Those are the ones who are saying that things like abortion, they'll rationalize abortion or think of any of the lies that are out there. Satan speaks his lies through the rocks. It comes through those rocks, the unredeemed. And then when those lies are released, unsuspecting people breathe it in like poisonous gas, not even realizing they're breathing in corruption and death. But here's the thing, and here's the lesson. That water that is situated above all of that, the water contains all of those gases. It's the water that is layered or stratified. And again, why is that water layered and stratified? It's because of the salt that is there. That water contains all of the deadly gases. The water contains all of the lies of Satan. You and I, that's us. That salty water, that is you and I as we speak His word. You and I, we are the salt of Jesus to the world. Now you already know some of the scriptures that come up right away when I say that you are the salt of Jesus to the world. This is the power of the words that you and I speak. It is the power to contain, to hold back the poisonous, gaseous lies of Satan that otherwise would spread to the world around us. Let me give you just one verse. This is from Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace. We are stones of grace. His grace, formed in His grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Jesus is the living waters. We are the living stones that Jesus moves through. So in this geological analogy that we're looking at, we are the mineral of salt. Salt is a mineral. Minerals make up rocks. This is who we are. We are the mineral of salt. So as His living stones, as we boldly, not quietly, but boldly proclaim Jesus to be the Savior, to be the Lord, as we boldly praise Him for the things, and people hear our praise, and as we boldly speak His word to change the circumstances of people around us and to change the circumstances in our lives so other people can see the power of Jesus Christ. Amen, Patty? As people see those things and hear those things, this is what we are, that salt, and it changes the world that is around us. So let's go back to Jesus, and let's go back to Palm Sunday. When Jesus was speaking to those Pharisees, and He said to the Pharisees, even the stones themselves will cry out. The Greek word for cry means to shout loudly, but listen to this. It also means to scream with urgency. There needs to be a sense of urgency to the cry that comes from these living stones. There needs to be a sense of urgency in our sharing the truth of Jesus Christ and speaking His word into people's lives. We celebrate Palm Sunday. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing yourself and allowing men to praise you. We celebrate Palm Sunday, but Palm Sunday needs to serve as a reminder to us that we are His stones who speak. We're His stones who cry out His name in praise because there's a world around us that is sucking in the gaseous lies of Satan. Now here's the results of being His stones that speak. of being his living stones that cry out praise to his name. We're focusing on his triumphal entry. We're focusing on that Palm Sunday, but I want you to see what happens the day after. The day after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus and the disciples come back to Jerusalem again, and that is the day that Jesus cleanses the temple. Now, we all know that account, but I just want to read this one verse to you. This is Matthew chapter 21, verse number 12. Stay there because we're going to look at a number of verses from this. But in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 12, it says, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God. He drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves." Jesus cleansing the temple. That's foreshadowing what Jesus was going to do for you and I. Through salvation, Jesus has cleansed you and I to make us his temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, with that in mind, I want you to see what happens next. Because the temple has been cleansed, and when the temple's cleansed, the next thing that we see take place is Jesus heals. He brings deliverance. If you go just two verses down, Matthew 21, verse number 14, Jesus cleansed the temple. Then two verses later, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. We are the temples. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are his temples, and we are the ones who are supposed to be speaking his word. We're supposed to be speaking his word in his power and in his authority. We speak his word in his power and in his authority, and the world changes around us. We speak his word in his power and his authority, and miracles take place, as those things which are realities in the spiritual realm suddenly with power come and they dispose or they displace the natural realm realities, which are the lesser realities. So we speak the word of God, and those spiritual realm realities displace the natural realm realities, which are opposed to Jesus and are opposed to his word. Now, look what happens immediately following that. Right after all that takes place, here's the next verses. Verses 15 and 16. "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.'" So you have these little ones, we have infants, children who are looking and they're seeing the blind and the lame healed, and even the children are calling out and crying out and saying, "Hosanna," praising him. "Hosanna to the Son of David." They, speaking about the chief priests and scribes, they were indignant and they said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." Now look, there's a lot that we can teach just from that verse. I'm only going to point on one. There's a lot that I can say. I just want to point one thing. This is not everything you can get from that verse, okay? There's just one point that you can get from that. But here's what I want us to see. Those children that cry out, they represent those people who have been touched by the words that you have already spoken. They're praising Jesus because of the miracles that they've seen. These are the lost. They're lost, but they've seen the supernatural. They've seen the power of the word. And now they believe. These are the ones. They are receiving. And they are receiving like infants who receive milk. Milk is easy to receive. Milk is sweet, and there's no work involved with milk. You don't even chew. You just take it right in. We are the ones who are to be sharing. And when you share the word, you are speaking. You speak as his living stones. You speak his word, and miracles will follow. Miracles will take place, and the world will witness those miracles. And let me tell you something. When the world sees miracles, when they see the word of God in operation, coming to pass, miracles taste sweet to the world. They will drink it in like infants drinking milk. It tastes sweet to the world. And it invites them to Jesus. It invites them to have faith in Jesus. We need to be those living stones who speak. Everything we just saw from the geology of Lake Neos shows us the power the importance of being His living stones who speak. We have the power to speak and make differences. Now, think about the people in your life. Who in your life today? Or who are you ready for tomorrow? There will be someone in your life. We need to be bold. When you see someone that has a need, don't just say, I'll pray for you, and then move on. Pray for them. Let them hear your words. Speak. Pray. Speak in faith. Let them hear the word of God. Let them look in your eyes and see your faith as they hear the word of God coming from your mouth. Speak His word. Be stones who speak. Speak because there's people out there who their lives are in chaos. They need deliverance. Speak to them. Tell them the promises of Jesus. Tell them the good things that are to come. We need to be the ones who are those stones who speak and who also praise the name of Jesus. You know, it's not fashionable to be Christians. The world looks down on us, and the world makes us feel insignificant or wrong or like we are impinging upon their lives if we mention the name of Jesus. And the world is making it so that it's shameful. You have to kind of cower back when you speak the name of Jesus. That's the exact opposite. This is the time. We're celebrating that moment of Palm Sunday when Jesus made public that He was the Messiah. And there was praises that had to. The situation and the time demanded praises. Out there, there are situations and times that demand to hear your voice praising Jesus. The world needs to hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus from your lips as you speak and as you pray. The world needs to hear that. Now, one final thing. If we go just a couple days in the future from Palm Sunday, it's just a couple of days later, we're going to see there's some other stones that give evidence of the supernatural. And this is taking place exactly. There's a lot more than this example, but time's sake and for what I'm focusing on today, we see another, one of many examples of geology being used as an analogy, a spiritual analogy for us to understand spiritual truths. But on the cross, at the moment of crucifixion, on the cross, we see another example of this, and it comes at the very moment that Jesus is giving up His life as a sacrifice for all. So let's read this from Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up His spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Make sure that image is in your mind. Jesus gives up His life for all. At that moment, the rocks split, and the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went to the holy city, and they appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Here we again see geology points us. It's spiritual geology. It points us to spiritual truths. At that very time when Jesus is yielding His spirit, there's an earthquake. And the graves, which are just hewn out rocks, it's just rocks that have been hewn out, and the graves are split open. And many people who had been dead, who had died, are raised back to life again. And after Jesus was resurrected, they come forth out of the graves and they're seen by many. This is not quiet. This is not something done in secret. Many people saw this taking place. These living stones have been split open to reveal to the world the eternity in Jesus Christ and all the eternal promises in Jesus Christ. We need to be those living stones who speak. We need to be those living stones who the world hears us praising loudly the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be those living stones who speak His word and push back and contain those gaseous lies of the enemy so they don't spread to the world around us and it doesn't affect the people in your life and the people that are around you. We need to be the ones that are, as we saw 2 weeks ago with the Ganges River, we need to be the ones who are spreading the life of Jesus Christ wherever he deposits us. We need to be the ones that are reviving the land around us. And again, I remind you, that's a geological term. I'm taking that right from a geologist who's not a Christian, who said, when we are deposited on the land, when the sediment is deposited on the land, it revives the land. You and I are the sediment. When we are deposited on the land, we revive the land. Jesus through you, because you and I will be his living stones who speak, his living stones who praise. We will revive the land that is around us. Amen? Jesus, we thank you and praise you for making us your living stones. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in these living stones. And we are opened up for you, that the world sees eternity. They see it through us and they hear it through our words. You be glorified. Let us remember as we celebrate Palm Sunday and all those praises were lifted up to your name, let us remember that every day so we can boldly praise your name, so we can boldly speak your truth, that you are glorified and the land around us is revived as you work through this sediment, these sedimentary living stones of yours. We thank you and praise you. You be glorified. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So I've told you guys that I love to carry stones, and I carry stones in my pocket because it reminds me that I am a living stone. This is my favorite. I've shown you guys this before, but this is the one time of the year that I get to just, it just makes me happy. So this is my favorite stone. It's my favorite. It's a tiger stone. You really can't see it, but you have to take my word for it. I love this stone because I picked it up. It was in this little box that said tiger stones. So I was looking for stones. I picked this one up. I thought, oh my gosh, this is so cool. There is a little face in this stone. There's an eye, a little nose, and then there's a stripe that comes straight across the bottom. And because it's tiger stone, it kind of moves. In the light, it moves, and it makes like a mouth. So this is a face with a mouth that is speaking. And so every time I pull this out and I look at it in the light, it just reminds me, I am a living stone in Jesus, and I need to be a stone that speaks and a stone that praises his name so the world hears it. Amen? So we're going to do, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You be glorified, Jesus. Thank you. So we're going to honor Jesus. As we know, it's going to be, as we're looking at the timeline of things, it's going to be in a few days that Jesus, after he made his triumphal entry, Jesus had his Passover. And if you read through the Passover accounts, you read that Jesus' Last Supper. If you read it in all the text together, you can really see that there's two events that are actually taking place. Jesus does have his Passover. In other words, he's obeying the law. He is fulfilling the law, and that's what Jesus did. He didn't replace the law. He fulfilled the law. So he is fulfilling the law, and he has Passover with his disciples. But you can also see that after Judas is gone, then Jesus has where he shares the cup and he shares the bread. And this is establishing the what we have today, what we celebrate as the Lord's Supper, as communion. So what I want us to do today as we celebrate communion, think about what Jesus has done for us. And think about what Jesus has done for the people in your lives that don't know him. Oh, thank you, Jessica. Think about the things that Jesus has done in the lives of the people who don't know him, the people that you know that don't know him. But if you've been here for the last 3 weeks, I also want you to think about what geology has taught us. Think about who you are in Jesus. We know and understand, but contemplate the sacrifice he made. But think about who you are in Jesus. And think about the plan that Jesus has, his plan for you. Think about that. And think about how he works through you. And think about the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you to accomplish his works, to do his will, and to bring glory to his name. Amen? So we're going to do this as we always do. I'm going to have everybody come up, serve yourself, take a seat, wait till everybody is served, and then we'll all partake together. Jesus, we thank you and praise you that your body was broken for us. We can never, ever, ever, we could spend every moment of the rest of our lives on this earth just thinking about what that means, what you did, that you became flesh, became the bread of life for us, and that your body was broken for us so that we could have every promise, we could be established with you. We thank you and praise you for your blood shed for us, your body broken for us. We think about that, we contemplate that, and Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us as we just think, meditate in this moment. Speak to each one of us, and we thank you for it in advance. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you guys come up and serve yourselves?